I hope those of you with hearing difficulties have spotted we've had a minor change of technology. You may need to adjust your reception in a good way. It's a lot easier to turn me down than turn me up. So hope that works for you all. We have been listening. All right, so today I'm going to talk a little bit about our lectionary. It's great to have a lectionary. It's a selection of Bible readings that reminds us to try to cover the whole of Scripture in our formation, in our listening for God. And those things is that we cover the great stories, but because we read direct from the Bible, we read a little bit here and a little bit there, and we miss out some of the bits in between. Now, I'm not proposing I sit to you and read the whole lot out. These are some hefty hunks of scripture I summarise. But it's good for us sometimes to realise where situations happen from and where characters are coming from. Because God doesn't always work through the people we'd imagine God works through. So let's have a little bit of a look at Moses. We all remember where we finished off last week. Moses, the baby, put in the basket in the River Nile, saved by the Pharaoh's daughter, adopted. We don't hear much, we just hear that he grew up inside her household. Must have been a pretty privileged place. We don't hear anything about his education or training, but what we do hear is, next slide, the guy's a bit of a hothead. Let's be honest, he goes and he witnesses a Hebrew slave being abused by one of the Egyptian slave masters. And he looks around and he sees no one's looking and he biffs him and kills him. Later on, he goes and he sees two Hebrew slaves fighting with each other. And he goes and blocks in and they go, "Why is this any of your business? You're not one of us. You're not a Jew, you're an Egyptian. You grew up in the Pharaoh's house. And anyway, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to kill us like you killed that guard?" At which Moses realises that slaves are still people who have eyes and mouths. And news was going to get back to the Pharaoh that he has killed one of his overseers. At which the Pharaoh's attitude was, life for a life, Moses has to die. So what does Moses do? What any sensible person would do, next slide, fly to Midian. Where can he go? Look at that man, run. We were talking about refugees last Sunday. Meet another one in the Bible. He flees to Midian, not only across the Red Sea, but keeps going all the way across the Sinai to the opposite side, other side of the Arabian Gulf. Wow. So he's really gone a long way. Next slide. There he is, sitting beside a well. And now the point of the story changes. It tells the story of a priest called Jethro, who has seven daughters. And Jethro sends seven daughters to go. Jethro sends seven daughters to go get water for the household for the day, and they come back early. And Dad says to them, "What happened so early?" And they said, "Oh, there was this nice bloke who was sitting beside the well, and he helped us load up all our water, got it for us quickly." So, and he treats my daughters with respect, helpful, obviously strong. "Why didn't you bring him home?" So he sends them back again to fetch this bloke, and he becomes a part of their family. He becomes that family. And has children. and is just getting along with life. He is rebuilding his life. And then this happens. Well, there he is with Jethro and the family, part of the family. Then this happens. He's looking after his sheep, minding his own business. And that's where today's reading begins. As Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led his flock beyond the wilderness. He came a long way because he had to cross the Arabian Gulf to get to Mount Sinai. Just interesting note. Came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he'd turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up in a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I've also seen him press them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, Israelites? It. Pretty good question, isn't it? Who am I? Okay, you're going to send a representative to meet a ruler who is currently under death sentence from said ruler. You are going to send a representative to represent a people who don't acknowledge him as a leader, even don't acknowledge him as a member. What would have Moses imagined his life was going to be as he was just minding his sheep that day? Everything was pretty normal, wasn't it? Beg your pardon? And then God stepped in. I'm fairly sure he hadn't thought about this particular God in a while. He probably was part of the whole mission with Jethro. We all have times where we give up on God. We all have times where we feel God has given up on us. But that's what we come here for, isn't it? We come here to hear those stories. We come here to sing those songs. We come here to those people who've walked with us, if we're lucky, for years, and who can remind us of God's faithfulness and God's presence. So we come. We come to worship. We come to hear those stories. And particularly just now, we come with our prayers, praise and thanksgiving based on today's psalm. God, we praise you. We gather together to worship you, to remember the goodness and unfailing love you've shown towards us, your people. Time after time, you've come to our rescue. Your love has sustained us through good times and bad, no matter what we faced, whether accident, illness, disappointment, or death, you were there encouraging, strengthening, and blessing. Even when we turned our back on you, you didn't abandon us, but waited patiently for us to return, ready to welcome us with open arms. Because we've known your love in the past, we look to the days ahead without fear. No matter how uncertain the future may seem, we will continue to trust in your unfailing love, confident that you will guide us in the days ahead as you have guided us in the past. Amen. Let's, there's a couple of hymns. Let's sing, Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in your praises, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore, who reigns forevermore. Now have our for our Bible readings. Someone noted down that it was A. Ferguson on the roster, so two Fergusons are going to do it.
Romans first.
Romans 12, 9 to 21, page 154 in the Pew Bibles. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Behold, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their hands. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
The gospel reading comes from Matthew 16, verses 21-28, page 17 in your pew Bibles. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hand of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and for those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. For what will profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their lives? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man has come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
She couldn't get out of it. Oh, we've stolen LifeWorks Toowoomba's Bible reader today. Thanks, Dad. Let's pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. So, there's the old saying, from rooster to feather duster. In some ways, today's passage is exactly like that. Another one of the weaknesses of the lectionary is we split stories, because there's so much in them, we couldn't possibly unpack them all in one day. So the last three weeks' stories are back to back to back. In the Gospels, we have room for that. So last week we had, next slide please, Meredith. Last week we had this wonderful moment where Jesus is with his disciples and he goes, who's everyone saying I am? Quick Gallup poll on public opinion, and they go, you're generally thought to be pretty good, you're a prophet. And then he goes, but who do you say I am? And of course it's Peter, designated blurter, designated hothead, perhaps a little bit in the vein of Moses, isn't he? He's the one who blurts out, Jesus, we think you're the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus goes, you're right, you're so right, you're the rock I'm going to build my church upon. And then Jesus says, shh, you're not to tell anyone. You're not to tell anyone. And then he starts to unpack. He starts to explain that to be the Messiah, he has to be willing to be obedient to God, even to the cross. He is preparing the disciples for what will be the most traumatic journey of their lives as they walk with Jesus to Jerusalem and beyond. And Peter takes up his newfold authority, pulls him aside and goes, boss, This isn't good for morale. Boss, this isn't what we want to hear, and it isn't how I understand. Surely God can't let this happen to you. And Jesus goes, don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. This is what I have to do. And your job is not to tell me what I have to do, but to pick up your cross. Let go of who you are and follow me. In many ways, that's a parallel with Moses again, isn't it? Moses has got this question, who am I to represent the people of Israel to Pharaoh? And God's answer is, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it was I who sent you. When you brought the people, have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. So in other words, you know you're the one to do the job when the job's pretty well done. Not the greatest of assurances, is it? But God is speaking as if it's already happened. But Moses then said, okay, that's the Pharaoh problem sorted. How about the people problem? If I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors, you notice, not my ancestors, but the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they're going to go, who are you on about? And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Give me something I can give. And God says to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. And it's a little bit of a tricky thing there, because inside Hebrew, Hebrew's basic alphabet is all the consonants. And there's little tiny signs that let you know the vowels that go between them. There's little tiny superscripts and subscripts, symbols around them that are their vowels. I am is written without any vowels. It is literally the word that is unpronounceable, which is then Adonai, which we then translate as Lord. I am who I am. One of the commentaries I read when I went in deep in this passage back in Bible college under the wonderful Douglas Jones was said, who are you to ask? I am who I am. This is me. To know someone's name is to have some control over them, isn't it? Or even worse, if it's a descriptor, you listen to it. God just says, who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am with you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, Adonai, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever and my title for all generations. We are privileged to know and love God. But we are not privileged so much we can tell God who God is or tell God what God is about to do. Stay in your lanes. If we call God Lord, God is therefore our Lord. Tough to live that out. And I believe that is where our reading from Romans is getting to. So we've had this whole book where Paul is trying to untwist a convoluted community. A convoluted community where the Hebrews are going, we are the ancestors of the tradition that Jesus came from. We shall have extra respect. The Romans are going, we are the recipients of generations of Greek culture, which is opening up whole new ways of looking at the Old Testament and whole new ways of looking at the story of Jesus, and God's done with them and come to us, we should be more respected. Paul's response to the Bible, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. And then he actually gives them recognition. He's listened to them. Out one another in showing honour. Out, if you're going to compete on anything, outdo one another in showing other people the honour they deserve as children of God. Do not lag in zeal, so don't just sit back. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. There's still plenty we can do, isn't it? There's lots of freedom there. Lots of different ways we can express our love of God. But then he gets to the important bit. Stay in your bounds. Some have asked why I don't do fire and brimstone preaching. It's this passage. I do not deny that God has a right to judge us. However, we are called to be witnesses to the love of God that has called us to love. We have been called not to stand as God's judges over an evil world, but to stand as God's welcoming mat, showing the love of God to a world that needs hope, showing the love of God to people who are lonely, who are suffering, who need a faithful friend. So that's what Paul says. Paul says, bless those who persecute you. And that's not just nasty words, folks. And bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We can't always fix every problem. Some people are just not going to like you. And some people are going to cause trouble. Do what you can, control what you can control. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for God to do what God does. Leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Nothing worse than someone who's you're trying to make your enemy, then treats you like a friend. It really does rub up the wrong way. I had a workplace complaint about doing that once. Another story for another day. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Beloved, we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are followers of the one who did not try to impose his own way on God, but was obedient to the cross. We are followers of the one who lived out this horrible challenge, who blessed those who nailed him to the cross. Can we ever live up to that? It's impossible, isn't it? We're never going to get there. Not by ourselves, But the more that we know the love of God, the more that we know in here that our place in the world is not dependent on all those things that the world wishes to say we need, but rather is given freely by a loving God, the more we're freed up to live this radical life. And the good news is, of course, that our salvation is not dependent on us. Our quality of witness is, but our salvation is not dependent on us. Rather, the one who calls us, the one who knows us, the one who, rather than judging us, chose to die for us and rise again for us, so that we need never be alone. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in that confidence, we come with our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess.